The 21st century grapples with a disquieting truth. The owners and controllers of Global Financialized Capital, or OCGFC, now wield influence that transcends nation-states. Their grip on power, particularly in the West, shapes public policy, influences elections, and dictates global capital flow. This influence is the culmination of a meticulously orchestrated, multi-century strategy. Like water eroding a stone, the OCGFC has reshaped the global landscape over generations. From Wall Street to Washington, London, and Brussels, the fingerprints of the OCGFC are evident. This opaque network of individuals and institutions, often shrouded in secrecy, has become synonymous with the unfettered flow of capital and the erosion of democratic values. Their narrative, presented as progress, masks a reality, the systematic transfer of wealth and power from the many to the few. Understanding the origins and evolution of the OCGFC is imperative for comprehending the complexities of the 21st century geopolitical and economic order. By tracing the historical trajectory of the OCGFC, we can unravel the intricate web of power that binds nations to the whims of a select few. Only then can we envision a future where democratic values and the well-being of the majority are no longer held hostage to global financialized capital. Pinpointing the exact moment the West fell under the sway of the OCGFC is impossible, akin to identifying the droplet that precipitates a flood. Their ascendancy is a gradual, insidious creep, a slow-burning fuse burning for centuries. This phenomenon's roots trace back to the colonial era, birthing powerful trading companies whose reach rivaled nation-states. The colonial enterprise, with its appetite for resources and markets, provided fertile ground for financialized capitalism. During this era, the blueprint for corporate power, often backed by colonial governments, was drawn. Companies like the British East India Company and the Dutch VOC, armed with royal charters, carved up vast swathes of the globe, accumulating wealth and influence. These early corporations, the progenitors of modern multinationals, established a dangerous precedent: private entities wielding power traditionally reserved for sovereign states. The lines between corporate and national interest blurred, often to the detriment of indigenous populations. This alliance between state power and corporate greed laid the foundation for the rise of the OCGFC, culminating in today's financialized world. Understanding these historical forces equips us to navigate future challenges and reclaim power for humanity's betterment. By understanding the historical forces that have shaped our present, we can better equip ourselves to navigate the challenges of the future and reclaim the reins of power for the betterment of humanity. The 17th century saw the rise of powerful chartered trading companies. Granted royal monopolies, they embarked on voyages of exploration and exploitation. The British East India Company and Dutch VOC were the most formidable. These companies wielded immense economic and political power. Empowered by royal decree, they could wage war and negotiate treaties. Their activities reshaped global trade and political boundaries. The legacy of these companies is one of exploitation and inequality. The spice trade, a microcosm of corporate power, drove European empires' expansion. The Dutch VOC dominated, using military might and strategic alliances. Their control led to brutal conflicts and subjugation of nations. Indigenous populations faced devastating consequences. The spice trade reveals early corporate power's inner workings. Section 3, Seeds of Dissent, Resistance to Corporate Rule. The unbridled power of chartered trading companies, initially tolerated for national wealth, did not go unchallenged. Across the globe, resistance to corporate rule simmered, eventually erupting into rebellion. Indigenous populations, long exploited, rose in defiance, demanding an end to resource plunder and sovereignty restoration. In India, the East India Company's land appetite and disregard for local customs sparked widespread resentment. Religious leaders and local rulers, their authority undermined, rallied followers against corporate tyranny. The Sepoy Mutiny of 1857, a bloody uprising, was a direct consequence of the East India Company's exploitative policies. Similarly, in the East Indies, the Dutch Vosges' brutal spice monopoly enforcement ignited uprisings. Local rulers, stripped of power, sought to regain control, rallying people against VOC oppression. These acts of resistance, often brutally suppressed, highlighted growing discontent with corporate rule. The seeds of dissent sown during this era would blossom into independence movements. The colonial experiment, predicated on exploitation, carried within it the seeds of its own destruction. Resistance movements serve as a testament to the enduring human spirit and desire for self-determination. They remind us that even entrenched systems of oppression are not invincible, and that the pursuit of justice and equality is an ongoing struggle. Section 1. The Iron Grip of Industry. The Industrial Revolution, a period of unprecedented technological advancement, marked a pivotal chapter in the OCGFC's ascent to global dominance. While hailed as progress, it also concentrated vast wealth and power in a select few, defining modern corporate capitalism. The smokestacks symbolized technological progress and the growing influence of industrial magnates. As steam engines roared and factories sprouted, a select group seized the reins of the industrial order. They built vast empires of iron, steel, coal, and oil, eclipsing the fortunes of previous eras. These captains of industry wielded unprecedented economic power, influencing governments. The rise of industrial capitalism shifted the relationship between capital and labor. Traditional bonds of patronage were replaced by wage labor, mass production, and profit pursuit. Workers, displaced from rural communities, found themselves at the mercy of powerful industrialists. This growing disparity between industrialists and workers fueled social unrest and labor movements. The Industrial Revolution, while ushering in material progress, also sowed seeds of inequality and social unrest. The OCGFC exploited this new industrial order to consolidate power and influence. The industrial titans' insatiable profit appetite laid the groundwork for globalized capitalism, where profit often trumps all other considerations. Section 2. From Steam to Steel. The Rise of the Industrial Titans. The late 19th century saw the rise of industrial titans like Rockefeller and Carnegie. They built vast empires, reshaping the global economy. Rockefeller's Standard Oil and Carnegie's steel dominated their industries. Their wealth and power influenced governments and public policy. This era laid the groundwork for corporate capitalism in the 20th century. The late 19th century, often referred to as the Gilded Age, was a time of stark contrasts. Beneath the veneer of progress and prosperity, a darker reality simmered. Industrialists amassed fortunes while the working class toiled in dangerous conditions. Money's influence in politics grew, shaping public policy. Congress became beholden to big business. Lobbyists shaped legislation favoring their patrons. Politicians relied on wealthy donors, shifting loyalty from the electorate. The rise of the plutocracy eroded democratic principles. Ordinary citizens' voices were marginalized. The gap between rich and poor widened. Inequality fueled social unrest and calls for economic justice. The Gilded Age serves as a cautionary tale about unchecked corporate power. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. The lessons of the Gilded Age remain relevant today. The creation of central banking systems marked a pivotal moment in the OCGFC's quiet ascendance. Prior to their establishment, national currencies were often tied to tangible assets such as gold. As industrial capitalism grew, the allure of a system that could control money flow proved irresistible to the financial elite. Central banks evolved into powerful instruments of financial control. By controlling interest rates and acting as lenders of last resort, they wielded enormous influence. This power provided the OCGFC with a tool to shape economic outcomes. The establishment of central banks was not without its critics. Many saw these institutions as a concentration of power in the hands of unelected officials. These concerns proved prophetic as central banks played a role in financial crises and bailouts. The advent of central banking marked a profound shift in the global financial order. By controlling money creation, these institutions shaped economic outcomes and influenced political decisions. This concentration of power remains a source of concern for those who believe a healthy economy should serve the needs of the many. The Federal Reserve System, created in 1913, exemplifies the OCGFC's influence over national institutions. Born from financial panics, it was presented as a solution to banking instability. Its mandate was to provide a more elastic currency and regulate banks. However, its creation was shrouded in secrecy, orchestrated by powerful bankers. The Jekyll Island meeting in 1910, where the blueprint was drawn, was a clandestine affair. Structured as a privately owned entity, it raised concerns about accountability. Critics argue it prioritizes Wall Street over Main Street. Its role in the Great Depression and asset bubbles fuels these concerns. The revolving door between the Fed and Wall Street exacerbates these issues. The Federal Reserve symbolizes the OCGFC's grip on national institutions. Section 3. Echoes of Fiat. From the gold standard to quantitative easing. The shift from the gold standard to fiat currency marked a profound turning point in global monetary history. This change empowered central banks to manipulate the money supply, creating money electronically. No longer constrained by gold reserves, they could stimulate economic activity and purchase government debt. However, this power has led to unintended consequences like inflation and asset bubbles. The most vulnerable in society often bear the brunt of these economic shifts. The move to fiat currencies has given unprecedented control to central banks and financial institutions. The Bretton Woods Agreement. After World War II, the Bretton Woods Agreement established a new global financial order. Signed in 1944 by 44 nations, it pegged currencies to the US dollar, linked to gold. This system promoted international trade and economic stability. Held at the Mount Washington Hotel, the conference aimed to prevent economic turmoil. Led by the US and Great Britain, it solidified American economic dominance. The dollar became the primary currency for global trade. However, the system's rigidity led to its collapse in 1971. President Nixon ended the dollar's link to gold, ushering in floating exchange rates. This change empowered financial institutions and shaped modern capitalism. Section 2, Architects of the Financial Architecture, the IMF and World Bank. The Bretton Woods Agreement birthed the IMF and World Bank, key players in the post-war financial order. Tasked with global monetary oversight and economic development, they often advanced the interests of the OCGFC, impacting the developing world. The IMF acts as a lender of last resort, but its loans come with austerity measures. These measures often harm the poor and working class. Structural adjustment programs have been criticized for exacerbating poverty and favoring foreign investors. The World Bank, while promoting development, often benefits Western corporations. Its loans can lead to unsustainable debt for developing countries. Emphasis on market-based solutions has undermined local economies and increased inequality. the IMF and World Bank consolidate OCGFC power, entrenching global capitalism. Their policies contribute to global inequality, fueling calls for a more just economic order. Section 3. The dollar's dominion, ascent to global reserve currency. The Bretton Woods Agreement solidified the US dollar's position as the world's dominant reserve currency. This empowered the OCGFC, granting them control over the global financial system. Demand for dollar-denominated assets surged, creating an appetite for US Treasury bonds. This allowed the US to print money with relative impunity. Foreign central banks absorbed the surplus, giving the US an enormous advantage. This power imbalance lies at the heart of many economic challenges today. The 1980s marked a neoliberal turn, championed by think tanks and political leaders. This shift moved away from post-war Keynesianism, advocating free markets and privatization. Deregulation became the order of the day, unshackling financial markets and promoting risky practices. The repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act allowed banks to gamble with depositors' money, increasing systemic risk. This deregulation wave set the stage for the 2008 financial crisis, exposing flaws in the neoliberal experiment. Beyond finance, deregulation affected industries like airlines and telecommunications, promoting competition but also job losses and wage stagnation. The post-WW2 social contract was dismantled, favoring capital over labor. The rise of neoliberalism in the late 20th century is often associated with Margaret Thatcher and Ronald Reagan. These leaders championed free markets and limited government, reshaping their countries and impacting the global economy. Their legacies are celebrated by supporters but criticized for increasing inequality and eroding social safety nets. Thatcher's privatization and Reagan's tax cuts led to job losses, higher prices and budget deficits. Their policies concentrated wealth and power while weakening protections for the vulnerable. The impact of their neoliberal agenda continues to shape today's political and economic landscape. The neoliberal turn, while touted as a recipe for prosperity, came at a steep price. The pursuit of profit led to dramatic income and wealth inequality. Governments cut taxes for the wealthy, widening the gap between rich and poor. This rise in inequality had profound social and political consequences. Feelings of resentment and social unrest grew. The social fabric began to fray, replaced by individualism. This erosion of social cohesion bred populism and extremism. The neoliberal era also saw the rise of austerity. Governments slashed public spending, worsening economic problems. Austerity deepened recessions and increased unemployment. The neoliberal experiment has come at a high cost. Inequality, social erosion, and austerity have left many behind. As we face new challenges, the neoliberal playbook is inadequate. We need new solutions for the 21st century. Our journey through history, from the colonial spice trade to multinational corporations and central banks, reveals a sobering truth. The world we inhabit today is not an accident. It is the result of deliberate choices and power grabs, consolidating power for a select few. Yet, understanding this history is key to reclaiming our agency and charting a new course. The OCGFC is not omnipotent. It is a system of evolving individuals and institutions. By understanding historical forces, we can dismantle the systems of power that have kept the OCGFC in control. This requires more than awareness. It demands action and a fundamental rethinking of our economic systems. History shows that even the most insurmountable systems of oppression are not invincible. From the abolition of slavery to civil rights, ordinary people have challenged the status quo and created a more just world. The task before us is to learn from these struggles and forge a new path forward, prioritizing social justice, environmental sustainability, and the common good.